News.
The job and the jobless.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The unemployment line still high. People still collecting checks, not quite as many. And the Treasury Secretary's got a job today, and he's earning his paycheck on Capitol Hill. But our investors? Where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 up about a tenth of a percent right now. NASDAQ down about a half a percent. The Dow flat. European markets are mixed, and in Asia, shares were lower by a percent or more. We got word this morning from the Labor Department that first-time jobless claims rose about 3,000 last week, but continuing claims came down for the first time in at least 5 months. We're going to talk with Doug Foreman right now, who's with Highmark Capital. He joins us live from San Francisco. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So for 21 weeks in a row, the number of people staying on unemployment went higher and higher, most of those record highs. But today the government said that number fell. Are you surprised?
Yeah, we are a little bit surprised that it's falling this early. But, you know, I guess in retrospect, initial jobless claims, as you pointed out, they actually peaked a couple months ago. The economy is creating jobs. So the number of people that are collecting unemployment checks is starting to fall, which is good news.
So here comes the recovery, right?
Well, I think, you know, unemployment is usually, unfortunately, one of the last things to recover in a recovery. So we're not holding out high hopes that, you know, that number is going to disappear anytime soon or get down to levels that would be more acceptable. But, you know, we do think the economy is in the bottoming process.
Big job today for Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner on the Hill trying to sell the Obama administration's financial regulation overhaul. Now, if I'm Tim Geithner, Doug, what's my strategy to get Congress on board?
Well, I think the strategy has to be that this is the most reasonable proposal that they can put forward, one that doesn't regulate the financial industry out of business, which wouldn't do anybody any good, but also does a lot more than do nothing. It is a comprehensive overhaul, which is obviously necessary.
All right, Doug Foreman, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Speaking of financial regulations in Europe, the EU is taking up the same issue at a summit. It starts today in Brussels. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us now from London to talk about the proposals over there. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Steve.
So what is the EU discussing?
Well, one of the key things they'll be talking about are the exact powers of two proposed EU-wide regulatory bodies. These are, on the one hand, the European Systemic Risk Board, which would be set up to spot ahead of time the kind of credit problems that blew up into the credit crunch. And on the other hand, the other body, the European System of Financial Supervisors, would have the job of monitoring individual banks and financial firms to make sure they're not engaging in over-risky behavior. The key question under discussion today is who's going to run these bodies and will these bodies be able to override and overrule national governments in the EU?
Now, Stephen, the UK not too keen on these proposals. What's the tension about with the Brits?
Well, the problem is London, which is Europe's major financial centre. Many people in the city of London believe that continental Europeans have long resented the success of London as a financial centre. They feel the French and the Germans and the bureaucrats in Brussels are keen to get their hands on London, bring it to heel, take it down a peg or two. And so the British government is under a lot of pressure to ensure that London, which is a major source of employment and tax revenue for the UK, isn't hamstrung by EU-wide regulation.
All right. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, joining us this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
Never mind the first day of summer is this Sunday. It's impossible to think vacation if you can't even get a day off. As many as 30 million American workers don't get any paid vacation from their workplace. And some in Congress want to change that. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
In the House of Representatives, Democrat Alan Grayson represents Orlando, Florida, home to theme parks and other holiday destinations.
Listen, anybody who lives in Orlando understands that vacationing people are happy people. They're all around us.
Grayson is the sponsor of the Paid Vacation Act, Under his proposal, companies with more than 100 workers would have to give everyone they've employed for more than a year a week's paid vacation. Grayson says time off is good for business.
Study after study has shown that people who go on vacations end up being healthier and more productive when they get back from the vacation. And we need a workforce that is paying attention, motivated, and part of that is to have a workforce that doesn't always feel tired.
Companies aren't convinced. Keith Smith with the National Association of Manufacturers says his members support and provide paid leave, but he says this is the wrong economy for another government mandate.
Additional burdens and costs, especially at a time like we're currently undergoing, where manufacturers are struggling to retain and create jobs, that is not the best time to burden manufacturers with yet another cost of government compliance.
Employers may be feeling a little overwhelmed by a flurry of bills in Congress mandating paid leave for workers, not just for vacations, but also for family emergencies and illness. At a hearing last week on the various proposals, Deborah Ness of the National Partnership for Women and Families said nearly half of all private sector workers don't get any paid sick days.
The Healthy Families Act would help us significantly reduce the spread of pandemic or seasonal flu by enabling workers to comply with public health advice if they or their family members show sign of illness.
But Georgia Republican Representative Tom Price worries that the cost of providing government-mandated benefits will be passed on to workers through reduced wages and fewer jobs.
At the very moment when Americans are worried about losing their job, this proposal undercuts job creation through higher employer costs.
So far, none of the bills have moved beyond the talking stage. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
So, how much vacation do you get? Do you get time off at all? Maybe you don't have a job at all. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. Check out the Scratch Pad with our online host and blogger, Scott J. Gow, inside the website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.